This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. As another trading week is underway, I'm Cisco Cotto. Right now, it is 68 degrees in Chicagoland. We're heading to a high of 73, and the sunshine's going to stick around all day long. Overnight, clear skies with a low of 56. Tomorrow, more of this. Sunshine and a little warmer, high of 78. At Midway right now, 69. And along Chicago's lakefront, 66 degrees. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, Wall Street is following up its strongest weekly performance of the year last week with more gains. The Dow is up 151 points to 26,135, higher by more than 0.5%. NASDAQ gaining more than 1.5%, up 122 points. S&P on the advance by 24. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up 0.75%. Tariffs that were supposed to go into effect today on Mexican goods imported into the U.S. are not happening. On Friday, President Trump said they're on hold, but that was after the bell, and so this is Wall Street's first opportunity to trade on that decision. The tech sector is getting some help from stock and advanced micro devices. They're at a 13-year high. Microsoft says its next Xbox gaming console will use AMD chips. So the code name for the next Xbox is Project Scarlet, which is expected to arrive for the 2020 holidays. This new console will let users stream games from their Xbox One consoles to a mobile device. Pretty cool. Back to you, Cisco.
Thanks so much, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we will talk about trade with Mexico and our tariffs actually working in some situations. We'll discuss the planned Chicago casino. Are there any pitfalls? Amazon getting ready to issue credit cards to people with bad credit. And Stock Picker Monday, an investing pro will join us to give you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The placement of a casino in Chicago is being seen in some quarters as a risky role for Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lightfoot. We'll examine the pros and cons in our next segment. Right now, President Trump continues to use the threat of tariffs as a negotiating tool on trade and other issues. Let's talk about the strategy with Paul Christopher, head of global market strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Paul, not sure if it's too early or not, But let's see if we can gauge, is the strategy on tariffs that the president is employing, has it been a winner?
Well, it sure looks that way, at least to start with. The news last Friday evening was certainly bound to encourage investors this morning, along with expectations for the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates. I think that's probably the more important factor right now. But taking the two together, yeah, you've got stocks up right now.
And Wall Street obviously would ordinarily be pretty nervous about tariffs, so they like when whatever the resolution is, when it actually happens.
Yes, they do. I want to be careful, though, because the president only said suspended indefinitely. He didn't say canceled. There's a lot of negotiation going on, and after 45 days, the U.S. and Mexico are going to sit down together and figure out whether Mexico's putting National Guard at their southern border with Guatemala, whether that's really going to stop the flow of migrants. The president of the United States wants them at zero into the United States. It's not clear that the Mexican National Guard can stop that. And if not, then we'll have more negotiations. Those tariffs could come back on the table at that time.
And wondering if the tariff threats back and forth, if at some point maybe they kind of lose their influence, not only with those countries, but with Wall Street, where at some point you go, well, we just hear this all the time, tariffs, tariffs, tariffs. Or is it so serious enough that everyone has to take it seriously?
Well, I think everyone has to take it seriously. And if you're a corporate executive or just a business person who's thinking about where to source that washing machine part or a piece for a camera or some other component in a product that you sell in this country, and you're thinking about taking it out of China, where do you put that business? Where do you put that assembly? If tariffs could go on to Mexico at any time, at a whim, the boy might give you a second thought. And in that case, you're kind of left looking all around the world. The president's also talked about new tariffs on India, possibly on Australia. If everyone in the world is potentially liable to get a tariff slapped on them by the United States, then it does make things more difficult for business.
Let's talk about, speaking of business, let's talk about the job openings remaining high here in the U.S. What does that say about the job picture?
Yeah, the labor market is really the bright spot for the U.S. economy. We think it's supporting consumer spending, household spending. Think of it as a kind of a two-piston lawnmower engine, maybe, the economy. And one of those pistons is really firing nicely now, that's household spending. The other one, though, business spending, that one is really struggling. And that's why growth is probably going to remain slow for the balance of this year.
If employers continue to have this many openings, are we going to see continued wage growth? Could this be maybe tougher for those companies, but good for the workers?
Yes, good for the workers, but only modest wage growth. We note that more than half of the jobs that are being created are in temp jobs, what we call business services, and retail, and those just don't pay the highest salaries.
When it comes to those job openings, let's also move to the hiring. Slower than expected hiring by a long shot. Is that a serious concern? Is it maybe a one-month blip?
Probably not a one-month blip, but the beginning of a slower trend. We don't think that you had 75,000 jobs created last month. We don't think it's going to be that low going forward. May was probably affected by a lot of teachers finishing school and getting out for the summer. That's always a tough figure to adjust seasonally. But going forward, yeah, maybe more like 100,000 and a quarter, 140,000 a month, compared to 180,000, 200,000, which we'd seen in prior months. So yeah, a little bit slow, but you expect that this part of the cycle. This is a maturing cycle, a maturing economic expansion. So still pretty healthy, still pretty good job growth. Labor market really solid, keeps the economy growing, and should keep people interested in stocks here.
Yeah, thanks so much, Paul Christopher. Good insight. Paul is head of global market strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Coming up, potential sticking points of a privately owned casino in Chicago.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Many state lawmakers are celebrating the major expansion of gambling in Illinois, including a casino in Chicago. However, it may not be just one happy revenue party. We welcome Greg Hines, columnist at Crain's Chicago Business. Greg, kind of a risky roll of the dice here. What do you make of the casino gambling expansion in general, but especially here in Chicago?
Well, there's a variety of potential flies in the ointment. One is the question of, is the market saturated? I mean, you know, 15 or 20 years ago when people were first talking about that, legal betting was rare. And now you can just pull out your cell phone and, you know, place a wager, or you'll soon be able to. There's casinos in Indiana. There's casinos in Wisconsin. There's casinos in Illinois. So we decided to authorize six more. Plus slots at the airports, slots at the racetracks, legal sports betting, betting parlors at the ballpark, and soon to come, the ability to actually bet on sports games, right? You know, sitting right there, pull out your phone, you put a bet. You know, it's the third inning is where the Cubs going to pull out or not. So that's the first question. Then on top of that, there's the question of keeping this honest and clean. We've been kind of able to stay out of trouble despite our reputation in Illinois in the last 10 years because of the work of a couple public officials, in particular, Lisa Madigan, the former attorney general. If you remember, she hauled roast. She blocked the Rosemont Casino almost personally. Then on top of that, you have this Chicago casino, which maybe is better positioned to attract a new market in the saturated market that we're in, but only if it goes in the right place, which creates some tensions for the new mayor.
Talking about the various locations, in my neighborhood, you got a pizza place that has video gambling. You got a gas station with video gambling. I mean, it's to the point now where literally you mentioned on your phone, even if you want to go somewhere to gamble, you can pretty much go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I could sit right here at the office and with the bosses and looking at me, I place a few wagers on the side. It's sad. So here's Lori Lightfoot. She's got this huge budget problem she's got to deal with, and the revenues from this new Chicago casino are supposed to pay police and fire pensions. We certainly need the money. She's got a $800-900 million hole in her new budget. But does she put the thing in the central area, somewhere downtown, where there is a market of conventioners and visitors and tourists or whatever that have some money? Or does she put it in a depressed neighborhood where, you know, maybe you help people there get some jobs, but because of tourists and visitors are reluctant to go there, the take from the casino, your ability to pay old pension bills is reduced. She's going to have to figure that out.
And you really do want it where tourists can get to it, because you want to expand that revenue pie, right? You don't want it to just be Chicagoans who are doing this.
I would hope so, and I think the mayor probably does, but this mayor is very serious for a good reason. When she's talking about bringing wealth and prosperity and jobs to every part of the city, that's great, but you can't make the tourists go where they don't want to go. So I guess the trick here is to find an in-between location, somewhere that's maybe close to the central area but still is in a neighborhood of color where people can get some jobs, like maybe the Michael Reese Hospital site, which a lot of people have talked about. But the alderwoman down there, Sophia King, says she doesn't like that. Her constituents don't like that, which poses another dilemma for the mayor, which is, you know, do kind of bigfoot the alderwoman and say, well, you know, I hear you, but you're going to have to take one for the team here. Again, she's going to have to figure this out.
How big of a bet is the governor making on the budget and all the different things that he's expecting to pay for with all this new casino revenue?
The most of the revenue from gaming is going to pay for the vertical part of the casino, of the Capitol bill, is to use this one of the buzz phrases in Springfield this year. The horizontal, which is the roads and the bridges and the CTA improvements, those are pretty much paid for by taxes on transportation, gasoline tax, vehicle registration fees, whatever. But vertical fees like this go to pay for educational buildings, state construction, other things that are not transportation related. And this is, and casino revenues are probably the biggest single chunk of that.
And Greg Hines, thank you. Always good in insight and analysis. Greg is a columnist with Crain's Chicago Business. Still ahead, we'll get an update on the markets from Bloomberg. Later, Amazon looks to enter the credit card business, specifically with people who may have bad credit. WBBM News Time 12:25, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, trade tensions with Mexico have eased. President Trump is delaying tariffs that were supposed to start today, and so the Dow is up 139 points, or more than 0.5%. NASDAQ gaining 117 points, or 1.5%. S&P up 23. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is also in the green today, up 0.75%. Crude oil futures are little changed, holding just above $54 a barrel. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
After early two-sided trade, we've now had higher prices pretty much across the board. July corn up a quarter at 416. December up three quarters at 434 and a half. July beans up 4.5, 860 and three quarters. November's up 5 at 888. And July wheat up a half at 505. Mostly higher prices at the Board of Trade. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Markets are rallying today. We'll see what's inspiring Wall Street. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a pair of suggestions from an investing pro. Amazon sets its sights on yet another business, issuing credit cards. And a rally in downtown Chicago commemorates the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote in Illinois. On Wall Street, the Dow up 145 points. The NASDAQ up 117. The S&P is up 23. Oil is flat today. Sunshine all day long, heading to a high of 73 degrees. Right now, 68 O'Hare, 69 Midway, and 66 along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Markets are doing well today. Let's talk about it with Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at National Securities, based in New York. Art, welcome back to the show. What do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Yes, thanks so much for having me. It's an interesting follow-up to a really good week last week.
when we look at what's going on in the market today, it's a continuation of that same thing. It feels like trade tensions are easing a bit. Now, both with Mexico, we seem to put that in the rearview mirror and cut a deal so we didn't have to impose tariffs on Mexico, and they're going to help us with immigration. And with China, the Treasury Secretary got back from a meeting with his counterpart in China and declared that both presidents, Trump and Xi, will meet at a G20 meeting later on. So that sort of releasing a little pressure on the trade front is certainly helping. And then there's a host of deals going on today in the M&A department that has caused a real buzz in the market. So you've got a combination of trade looking a little less tense and a lot of M&A activity.
Now, given the fact that when it comes to trade, you know, so far things have been okay, when we get those little dips in the market because of trade concerns, in general, is that ever a time to start maybe looking for some bargains, or do things not drop quite as much as they might need to for that to happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. If you're a long-term investor, you probably shouldn't be, you know, really trying to time the market, especially around trade policy. But I will tell you this. There is a market that was convinced coming into the month of May that we were at the doorstep of doing a deal with China. And that reversed pretty quickly. And we lost 6 or 7% in the S&P 500 over the course of about 7 weeks. Now, we got back about 4% last week. Pretty handy snapback five-day rally. You know, that is on the concept of perhaps trade getting a little better and the Fed being a little more dovish. I still think that the U.S.-China trade scenario is going to be a longer event than we've given it an opportunity to. We thought, you know, coming into this year that we'd have a trade deal by the first half of this year. Looks like it's going to be well over the course of the summer, probably into July or perhaps August and September before we actually ink a deal with China, if we can get one done at that point in time. So if trade is a headwind for you, I wouldn't be buying the dips just yet.
You talked earlier about some of the M&A activity. Let's touch on United Technologies and Raytheon, a big aerospace deal. What do you make of this?
Yeah, great combination. They don't have many overlapping businesses, so it looks like this can get pushed through the regulators. They're going to relocate the company. We call it Raytheon Technologies. It's going to be located in just outside of Boston, Massachusetts. Super, super competitor now for Boeing in that aerospace and defense world, right? So there's five large competitors. Now there's four, and the Raytheon Technologies would be number two. Looks like this deal makes a great deal of sense.
Let's talk about Macy's. They're up, a little over 6% today as the shares are rallying. I know about a year or so ago, a lot of people were wondering if Macy's was headed the way of Sears, and they seem, at least in some respects, to have turned it around.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, if a year ago, you and I started talking about retail stocks and some of them doing well, I think that, you know, people would have tuned to another radio station. And now it seems like we've got a point at which some folks are sitting down. So what's going on right now is the S&P retail ETF, the XRT, is up about 2% today. Macy's is part of that. It's also up because GameStop came out and said that they're going to buy about 12 million of their shares back. And Shutterfly looks like it's getting a bid to be taken up by the Apollo Group. So that's sort of dragging with it companies like Tailored Brands, Macy's, Stitch Fix, and Signet Jewelers, all up north of 3% today. So there is a bit of a bid and some buzz around the retailers that are struggling, you know, still in a very difficult environment to find a better way to compete with Amazon. And Macy's has probably done the most work. It still has a lot of real estate value.
Now, for investors, when thinking about retail stocks, are you especially looking at online presence and whether those companies are competing with Amazon, Walmart, and others online before thinking about getting in?
Yeah, you have to have a unique delivery mechanism. So whether it's online or order online, pick up in store, able to return things in store, you have to get creative if you're going to be battling with Amazon. And understanding Amazon is reaching the point of saturation such that they're finding ways to get more involved in brick and mortar. There's a new Amazon store that just opened in my building here. They obviously bought Whole Foods. So you have to have a combination of brick and mortar and online delivery. But you have to be part of that omni-channel where you're able to get things to people wherever it is they want to consume your goods. So I think that all the companies are updating their look and changing their feel and also delivering a fantastic online experience are going to be the only ones that will be able to compete in this decade with Amazon.
Saw a report, a lot of sort of the bigger investors are keeping more money in cash than maybe they were before the crash. Do you advise that at all? Is that something that is a good thing, or are there so many good deals out there that there are places to really put that money out there to work for us?
That's such a great question, Cisco. We get that a lot. So here's the way we think about this. First and foremost, if you have a plan and an asset allocation model, you probably shouldn't adjust that a whole lot. If you're a long-term investor that plans to retire in 40 years, you know, you probably shouldn't have cash as a large component.
Now, the further you are down the road to retirement and the need for that, raising cash makes a great deal of sense. So, you know, if you're in your last 10 or 15 years, then having cash in your balance sheet makes sense, or being a cash-like instrument. The problem with that right now is cash doesn't get you much in terms of short-term returns. So the one thing we always say is, you know, some percentage of your portfolio is going to be in cash to either be opportunistic or to handle emergencies. But the younger you are, the smaller the number should be.
Thanks so much for all the analysis. Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at National Securities, based in New York. Up next, Amazon wants to issue credit cards to people who may have trouble getting one. The Noon Business Hour, presented by Old Second Bank.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Amazon is teaming with Synchrony Financial on a credit card for Prime members who might have a hard time getting one because of iffy credit. Let's learn more about it from Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com, based in New York. Ted, give us kind of the nuts and bolts of what Amazon is talking about doing here.
I think this is a really smart move. So they're offering a secured credit card, meaning that the cardholder puts down a deposit ranging from $100 to $1,000. That's going to serve as the credit line. And while secured cards have been common in the banking space for a while, I've never seen one from a retailer. I think it's a really smart way for Amazon to tap into the 53 million people, many of them young adults, who just simply don't have enough credit history to even have a credit score and get a traditional credit card.
Now, is it smart in part because that seems like it would give Amazon a lot of cash to hang on to?
They're working with Synchrony Bank in this partnership, and I think it's really a great idea because Amazon wins on both sides. They win on the credit financing piece, and then they also win as a retailer because they get to sell you all of those great items that they have. So this is really innovative.
Yeah, right now, if you don't have a credit card, you basically can't use Amazon, or it's really difficult to use Amazon.
They do have another partnership geared towards the unbanked or underbanked, where they actually have 45,000 retail locations, partners like CVS and 7-Eleven, where they have this Amazon Cash program. A customer can actually walk in and load their Amazon account with cash at one of these other retailers. I think this, plus the secured card that came out today, I think really shows that Amazon's being innovative. They're trying to expand their already large customer base. And I think they're also trying to get this first mover effect, meaning, you know, maybe this is your first credit card ever, or it's your first, you know, relationship of this type. That can really be lasting.
When it comes to some of their expansion, I mean, Amazon has some of these stores where they basically want you to just use the app in order to pay. It makes it more important that they get people who might be cash spenders right now.
They really are an innovative company. You know, everything from the stuff we've talked about to these new stores that they have that'll reportedly just sense whatever it is that you've plucked off the shelf. And then when you walk out the store, you'll just automatically be charged. There's also something in this for the consumer, you know, because they're getting access to credit. There's actually pretty enticing rewards on this. There's 5% cash back on Amazon.com purchases if you have Prime. There are 0% interest periods ranging from 6 up to 24 months. You need to be careful with those because if you don't pay in full, they're going to charge you retroactive interest, 28.25%. But if you can pay in full, this is a nice way to get in the door, improve your credit, and then get an even better card down the road.
Yeah, and that's one of the ways that Amazon is pitching it, something called Amazon Credit Builder. Hey, get this card. Maybe you don't have good credit now, but if you do well with this card, you could have good credit.
It's a big deal. I mentioned those 53 million U.S. adults who can't be scored by the credit bureaus. There's another completely separate 79 million who have subprime credit. There's really no credit risk to the issuer with a secured card because of that deposit. And from the consumer standpoint, you can improve your score quickly. Amazon says in as little as 7 months, you might be able to improve enough to graduate to a traditional or unsecured credit card. So between the credit builder, the interest rate promotions, the rewards, I think they've hit on something good here.
Thanks for all the details, Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday here on the Noon Business Hour. Lending a hand today, Pat Morrow, President, Patrick Morrow Investment Advisor, Inc., based in Oak Brook. Pat, welcome back to the show. Always good to have you here. What's your first pick today?
Thank you, Cisco. The first pick is Pfizer, a big New York pharmaceutical company that has developed a breast cancer drug called Ibrance that has every indication of being a blockbuster drug. 4 years ago, it was an experimental drug only, and this year the it's fully launched and the sales are skyrocketing. I believe next year they'll go up to about $5.5 billion. And there's every indication that into the next decade, it will be $10, $11 billion a year in sales.
So there's a pretty decent dividend with Pfizer. Do you see this as a stock to get some income off of, or do you see some growth there as well?
The dividend is above average, way above the S&P. It will grow. The price earnings multiple of the stock, I think, will accelerate here in the next 3 to 5 years. So I'm looking for from a company that's had kind of a flattish rate of return over the last 10 years to accelerate quite a bit for a big name blue chip.
Okay, first pick is Pfizer. What's your second pick?
A well-known company called Costco Wholesale out of Washington State. It operates, most of the listeners know this company, it operates in 773 outlets overseas, including Japan, France, South Korea, et cetera, Australia. It basically charges $60 for a membership and $120 for a so-called executive membership. This generates well over $2.5 billion a year in revenues, and I will tell you that's almost pure profit to the company. This allows the company to charge very low prices for their bulk sales, one of the drawbacks, in my opinion. You have to buy more than you really want, but that's also part of their big profit growth. The company's employees, I understand, I just heard this yesterday, that they have the lowest turnover rate of almost any large retail company. In fact, the lowest. It's like 5% a year, which is unheard of in the retail business.
Yeah, that stability. Stability certainly pays off too.
Yeah, it's a big plus. And the company promotes from within. They rarely promote somebody from outside the company. The morale is very high. They have shorter operating hours, more holidays off, good health benefits, and of course they're paying. Their starting base salary is at least 25% higher than any competitor.
Yeah. Well, the two picks today, Pat, Pfizer and Costco. We always appreciate you being with us. Appreciate your picks. If you miss any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast available shortly, WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. WBBM News Time 12:55, wrapping up the Noon Business Hour with a check of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, it is a relief rally on Wall Street as traders price in the news that tariffs on Mexico will not start today. The Dow up 118 points, or almost 0.5%, to 26,102. NASDAQ higher by 1.3%, or 107 points, and the S&P gaining 0.19%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up more than 0.5%. China may have found a way to get around U.S. tariffs by sticking up Made in Vietnam label on goods actually made in China. Some Chinese exporters are illegally rerouting orders through Vietnam to avoid last month's increase in tariffs from the U.S. Vietnam reports it's found dozens of fake product origin certificates and illegal transfers. with business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom. Alisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.